Praise God. We're going to talk about tonight, it's called Beyond the Veil. And it's something the Lord had put on my heart so that we'd get more understanding about Beyond the Veil. Would you turn to Ezekiel chapter 1? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Beyond the Veil. Now, Ezekiel was one of the men that went beyond the veil. In the Old Testament, it was God that chose who could come beyond the veil. And in the New Testament, anybody can go. But we need to have an understanding of the veil and so forth. So I just want to share a couple things of what's going on here. And Ezekiel chapter 1 and verse 4. Ezekiel speaking, he said, "Then I looked, and behold, a whirlwind was coming out of the north, a great cloud with raging fire engulfing itself, and brightness was all around it, and radiating out of its midst like a color of amber, and out of the midst of the fire. Also from within came the likeness of four living creatures, and this was their appearance. They had the likeness of a man. Each one had four faces, and each one had four wings. Their legs were straight, and their soles of their feet were like the soles of calves' feet. They sparkled like the color of burnished bronze. And the hands of a man were under their wings, and on their four sides, and each of the four had faces and wings. And their wings touched one another. The creatures did not turn when they went, but each one went straight forward. As for the likeness of their faces, each had a face of a man, and each of the four had a face of a lion on the right side, and each of the four had the face of an ox on the left, and each of the four had a face of an eagle. Thus were their faces. Their wings stretched upward, two wings of each, one touched one another, and two covered their bodies. And each one went straight forward. They went wherever the Spirit wanted to go, and they did not turn when they went. As for the likeness of the living creatures, their appearance was like burning coals of fire, like the appearance of torches going back and forth among the living creatures. The fire was bright, and out of the fire went lightning. And the living creatures ran back and forth in appearance like a flash of lightning. Now as I looked at the living creatures, behold, a wheel was on the earth beside each living creature with its four faces. The appearance of the wheels and their workings was like the color of braille, and the four had the same likeness. The appearance of their workings was, as it were, a wheel in the middle of a wheel. When they moved, they went toward any one of four directions. They did not turn aside when they went. And for their rims, they were so high, they were awesome. And the rims were full of eyes all around the four. When the living creatures went, the wheels went beside them. And when the living creatures were lifted up from the earth, the wheels were lifted up. Wherever the Spirit wanted to go, they went, because there the Spirit went. And the wheels were lifted together with them, for the Spirit of the living creatures was in the wheels." Now, Ezekiel had a vision of the throne room of God. The four living creatures is a representation of the four men that hold the Ark of the Covenant now on the earth. So everything was parallel. It goes on, you can read the rest of this chapter, and you can see that this was actually the tabernacle of God in heaven. Does everybody understand that? Ezekiel talks about the tabernacle. God brought Ezekiel beyond the veil. Let's go to the book of Revelation. Hallelujah. The book of Revelation in chapter 1. Praise God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. And chapter 1 and verse 10. Now John is speaking, and he says what? "I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice as of a trumpet, saying, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. And what you see, write in the book and send it to the seven churches." Now, John was taken beyond the veil. Does everybody understand that? He not only talked to angels, he talked to all kinds of people on the other side. They were all servants of the Lord. Messengers, angels, saw the Lord. God chose men in the Old Testament to go beyond. But you and I have the ability to go beyond ourselves now. You know, the choice is ours in how deep we want to get in the Spirit. We talked about this Friday night. But I want us to understand tonight about the veil and what the veil represents. And that we do want to go beyond the veil because it's available for me and you to go there. But would you turn to Psalm 104? Psalm 104. And verses 1 through 9. Would you read it with me, please? Hallelujah. Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord, my God, you are very great. You are clothed with honor and majesty, who cover yourself with light as with a garment and stretch out the heavens like a curtain. Now, what is he saying? He's saying there is a veil that separates the spiritual realm from the heavenly realm. Does everybody understand that? He lays the beams of his upper chambers in the waters, who makes the clouds his chariot, who walks on the wings of the wind, who makes his angels, spirits, his ministers a flame of fire. You who laid the foundations of the earth so that it should not be moved forever. You covered it with the deep as with a garment, and water stood above the mountains. At your rebuke they fled. At the voice of your thunder they hastened away. They went up over the mountains. They went down into the valleys, to the place which you founded for them. You have set a boundary that they may not pass over, that they may not return to cover the earth. So we understand that not only a veil is a separation of something, but it's a boundary. A veil was set, or a curtain, we could say, was set as a boundary. And God, who rides the winds and so forth, he was a representation of, he's talking here about the veil that separates the spiritual realm from the natural realm. And that there was a veil. And that veil has been placed by God. In fact, that veil was placed when Adam and Eve fell. Does everybody understand that? Other than that, there was no veil. The veil was put in place when Adam and Eve fell. Okay? When they were removed from the promised land. When that eternal realm and the eternal beings walked from the eternal to the temporary, a veil was put across everything, separating the eternal and the temporary. Okay? Go to Exodus 24. So we see that the word veil is a representation of a curtain or a boundary, isn't it? That's a boundary line. Exodus chapter 24. Hallelujah. Exodus 24. And verse 12. Would you read it with me, please? Then the Lord said to Moses, "Come up to me on the mountain and be there, and I will give you tablets of stone and the law and commandments which I have written, that you may teach them." So Moses arose with his assistant Joshua, and Moses went up to the mountain of God. And he said to the elders, "Wait here for us until we come back to you. Indeed, Aaron and Hur are with you. If any man has a difficulty, let him go to them." Then Moses went up into the mountain, and the cloud covered the mountain. Now, the glory of the Lord rested on Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it what? 6 days. And on the seventh day, he called Moses out of the midst of the cloud. Now, the cloud was a representation of the veil. Has everybody got it? Hallelujah. This is actually a representation of the rapture. Moses was the one who is a representation of the dead in Christ. Does everybody understand that? When Jesus was transfigured on the mountain, Moses and Elijah showed up. Moses represented those dead in Christ. Elijah represented those who were alive in Christ. Because God buried Moses. And then Satan tried to take Moses' body, and the angel of the Lord rebuked him. Has everybody got it? So here, this is a representation of what was to come. One day with the Lord is equal to a thousand years, right? So we know we're already in the 7,000th year, aren't we? So with the rapture of the church must go. So we see that it says that the glory of the Lord rested on the mountain. So Moses was waiting for God to call him. He was already on the mountain. He was waiting there 6 days. Then the Lord called Moses from the cloud. And he said, come on. Can you imagine waiting outside with this cloud hovering and the glory of God hovering over this mountain, and you're up in this mountain, and you're waiting for the Lord to call you, waiting 6 days. And the veil was the cloud. And there's going to be a time where that veil is totally gone for me and you.
Hallelujah.
That eternal veil will be gone. It's going to be where we are now, the fullness of our redemption will be beyond the veil. Because we have glorified bodies. That's the one thing that hinders us from going to the other side, doesn't it? Is our flesh. But one day that will be gone. Amen? Soon. And the Lord gives us a time right here. Amen. One day with the Lord is equal to 1,000 years. We're already entering our 7,000th year. Has everybody got it? So we know we have to go home soon. And it says here, hallelujah. Then the sight of the glory of the Lord was like a consuming fire on top of the mountain in the eyes of the children of Israel. So Moses went into the midst of the cloud and went up into the mountain. And Moses was on the mountain 40 days and 40 nights. That's powerful. Amen. So we see that God still spoke through the veil, didn't he? Through the veil. He was always speaking through the veil, through the fire, through clouds, whatever it was. So we know that veil is a representation of a curtain or a boundary, isn't it? You notice Moses didn't cross it over until he was called. He waited. In Exodus 25, and verse 1 through 9. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel that they bring me an offering. From everyone who gives it willingly with his heart, you shall take my offering. And this is the offering which you shall take from them, gold, silver, and bronze, blue, purple, and scarlet thread, fine linen, goat's hair, ram skins dyed red, badger skins and acacia wood, oil for the light and spices for the anointing oil, and for the sweet incense, onyx stones and stones to be set in the ephod and the breastplate. And let them make me a sanctuary or a sacred place that I may dwell among them. According to all that I show you, that is the pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern of all its furnishings, just so you shall make it. So here the Lord brings Moses into the midst, right? He brings him into his tabernacle. Moses was brought into God's tabernacle. And the Lord tells Moses, I want you to build me a tabernacle that I can dwell among my people. God always dwells in a tabernacle. He dwells where there is a veil. Does everybody understand that? That's why the eyes were open to the natural realm and shut to the eternal realm. Because there had to be a veil. Paul, who was Saul, when he got baptized in the Holy Spirit, says the scales came off so he can actually go into the eternal realm of what God allowed us to. Amen? That was the veil. Those scales were taken off so that we can have a relationship with God in the Spirit now. But there is another veil that will come off when you and I get our redemptive bodies. That there will be no limit. Right now, we are still limited, aren't we? Amen. Unfortunately, we still get sick and all the other stuff, right? Hallelujah. Okay. So we see here now that Moses was told about a preparation for God to dwell with man. It was known as a sacred place. Tabernacle means sacred place. In Exodus 26. Now the Lord's explaining to Moses how he wants everything made. And in verse 1. It says, moreover, you shall make the tabernacle with 10 curtains of fine woven linen, blue, purple, and scarlet thread. With the artistic designs of cherubim, you shall weave them. So we see that he's going to make curtains all around the tabernacle. Okay? And he's going to use, and if you go down and you start reading more, then he talks about, in verse 2, he talks about each one, the length. In verse 3, he says, he then attached 5 curtains shall be coupled. And in verse 4, it says, and you shall make loops. And in verse 5, it tells you 50 loops. Now, you got to understand something. And all of these things are a representation of feasts and fulfillments. They're all a representation of who Jesus was. You're going to find it. He's always talking about 50 loops because 50 means penti or Pentecost. All of this was a preparation. The veil that was going to be ripped in the future was all a representation of Pentecost that was going to come. Okay? And if you go on a little further, go to verse 31. And it says, and you shall make a veil woven of blue, purple, and scarlet thread, and a fine woven linen. It shall be woven with artistic design of cherubim. You shall hang it up on the 4 pillars of acacia wood overlaid with gold. Their hooks shall be gold upon 4 sockets of silver. And you shall hang the veil from the clasps. Then you shall bring the ark of the testimony in there behind the veil. The veil shall be a divider for you between the holy place and the most holy place. You shall put the mercy seat upon the ark of the testimony in the most holy. You shall set the tabernacle or the table outside the veil and the lampstand across from the table on the side of the tabernacle toward the south. And you shall put the table on the north side. You shall make a screen for the door of the tabernacle woven of blue, purple, scarlet thread and fine linen made by a weaver. Now, he's talking here about, these are not the curtains. These are the veils. So the whole ark, the whole tabernacle had curtains all around it. He even talks about goat's hair. Goat's hair was going to be the roof of it. Okay, now goat's hair represents prophetic that was about to come. Okay, fulfillments of prophecy. That's why the prophet always had woven wool or whatever. And so we see that there was always, he speaks about prophecy that was going to come. Talks about the curtains on the outer, which was the enclosure of the outer court. And then there was the inner court, and the first veil that they came to was known as the holy place. Then the second veil was the most holy place. Okay? So in the most holy place, these veils, they were like curtains. They were woven, and they were made of 3 specific colors. And the 3 colors were blue, meaning priesthood. Purple, meaning royalty. And red, meaning covenant. Which we know that red was a representation of sacrificial covenant, doesn't it? But it's a representation of covenant. So there was actually three chambers in representation of the Trinity of God. Okay, in his fullness, because the Bible says that Jesus was the fullness of the Godhead. And we'll get a little bit more into there. So the curtains were the separation and the divider between man and God. God no longer can show himself as he showed himself to Adam and Eve because of broken covenant. Does anybody understand that? Because God made a covenant with Adam and Eve that they wouldn't eat of the tree. And when they did, they broke covenant and a veil came up. And God could not dwell with man anymore until that veil was removed and until we can get the fullness of our redemption back, where we can actually speak with him and walk with him in the way we should. Okay? So we see here that the three colors represent priestly. Blue represents priestly, purple represents royalty, and scarlet represents covenant. And that was engraved and woven in all the curtains and everything. There was pictures of cherubims, angels, right? Hallelujah. And Exodus 26 and verse 31. Oh, we already did that. Okay. Praise God. Didn't even know it. In Exodus 34, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And verse 29, 34, 29. Would you read it with me? You know, okay. Hallelujah. Just let's back up a little bit. Let's go to verse 27 just to let you know what was going on. Then the Lord said to Moses, write these words, for according to the tenor of these words, I have made a covenant with you and with Israel. So he was there with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights. He neither ate bread nor drank water. Hello? He didn't need to. Because he only thought he was there about 10 minutes. And he wrote on the tablets the words of the covenant, the Ten Commandments. So God was reestablishing the covenant, wasn't he? Written in stone. Which we know later on would be written in the hearts of man. Now it was so when Moses came down from Mount Sinai, and the two tablets of testimony were in Moses' hand when he came down from the mountain, that Moses did not know that the skin of his face shone while he talked with him. So Moses' face was shining. The glory of God was rubbing off on Moses' face. God's presence was rubbing off on Moses' face. So when Aaron and all the children of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shone. And they were afraid to come near him. People must have looked like a light bulb. Glory to God. Then Moses called to them, and Aaron and all the rulers of the congregation returned to him, and Moses talked with them. Afterward, all the children of Israel came near, and he gave them as commandments all that the Lord had spoken with him on Mount Sinai. And when Moses had finished speaking with them, he put a veil on his face. But whenever Moses went in before the Lord to speak with the Lord, he would take the veil off until he came out. And he would come out and speak to the children of Israel whatever he had been commanded. And whenever the children of Israel saw the face of Moses, that the skin of Moses' face shine or shone, then Moses would put the veil on his face again until he went in to speak to him. Moses was a representation, this may sound a little strange, of God's face, of God's glory, of God's presence. Does everybody understand that? So when Moses would come out to speak the oracles of God, he would take the veil off so he could speak to his people face to face. When he was done speaking the oracles of God, Moses would put the veil back on. And then when he'd go see the Lord, he'd go back into the Lord and get recharged. He'd take the veil off and the glory of God would come upon Moses as he spoke to the Lord. And then Moses would come back out and speak the oracles of God. Does everybody get it? And when he was done speaking the oracles of God, he put the veil back on. But the one thing was, is the glory of God was fading away off of Moses. So every time he went back in and he come back out, the glory would be on him. But if there was a period of time that Moses didn't go back in, the glory of God would lift from him. But if he left the veil on, the people didn't see the glory of God leaving him. So it brought fear to God's people, which was in hope to bring obedience and submission. Amen. It was also a representation of the Old Testament was a representation of the shadow that was things to come. It was a shadow of things to come. Amen. Now, let's go to 2 Corinthians 3. I need to go there. Second Corinthians chapter 3. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And verse 7. Second Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 7. Can everybody hear me back there?
Amen.
Hallelujah. So y'all don't need to walk around with a veil over your head, all right? You don't need to be the unknown preacher. There used to be this dude on TV, always used to put a bag, he was an unknown comic, right? He needed to have a bag.
The gong show.
Yeah, whatever, right, whatever.
You're showing your age.
Hallelujah. Actually, I thought about doing that one time, putting a bag on my head, going out in the streets and preaching. The unknown preacher, right? Hallelujah. And verse 7, but if the ministry of death written and engraved on stones was glorious so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the face of Moses because of the glory of his countenance, which glory was what? Passing away. How will the ministry of the Spirit not be more glorious? Wow, because it was a shadow of things to come. For if the ministry of the condemnation had glory, the ministry of righteousness exceeds much more in glory. For even what was made glorious had no glory in this respect because of the glory that excels. For if what is passing away was glorious, what remains is much more glorious. Therefore, since we have such hope, we use great boldness of speech, unlike Moses, who put a veil over his face so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the end of what was passing away. But their minds were blinded, for until this day, the same veil remains unlifted in the reading of the Old Testament, because the veil is taken away in Christ. Whoa. Now he's talking about the veil over the heart. The veil that blinds the eyes of the heart. But even to this day when Moses is read, a veil lies on their heart. That's why they can't understand. Yeah. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the what? Spirit. Ooh. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty or freedom. That's why there's still bondage. He's talking about when you get baptized in the Holy Ghost, the veil is taken away. And it's not taken away until then. That's why it's important to get baptized in the Holy Ghost. Because the veil is taken away where you are a new creation. And old things have passed away. That's the difference between relationship and religion. That's why those who are not baptized in the Holy Spirit come against the move of the Spirit. Yeah. Don't they? You know, I got people on my butt in jail sometimes, hounding me down, trying to disprove the things of God. They spend more time disproving the things of God instead of searching for Him. It blows my mind. Of course, you know, when the Spirit tells me to say certain things, I say it. But if they take more time seeking God instead of disproving why, they'd end up getting baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost, and the scale would be removed, and they'd be getting understanding. Hallelujah. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in the mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. So we're being transformed, aren't we? Constantly. By His glory. It's by His Spirit that changes us. Amen? Hallelujah. Now, the difference here is that Moses' glory was an outward appearance. Now, it's an inward appearance. Because it's removed from the heart now. Does everybody understand it? It's no longer an outwardness of rituals. It's an inwardness where we have relationship in the Spirit. Because your spirit communes with God, your soul interprets what God says, and your body does the works. Has everybody got it? Hallelujah. All praise be to God. Let's go to Ezekiel 36. Hallelujah. Praise God. Ezekiel 36 and verse 23. And the Lord said through Ezekiel, "And I will sanctify my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, which you have profaned in their midst. And the nation shall know that I am the Lord, says the Lord God, when I am hallowed in you before their eyes." Well, that could never happen in the Old Testament. It can only happen in the New Testament, except for a chosen few that God chose out of the Old Testament. Because God was still dwelling in the tabernacle, which He was prophesying a tabernacle to come, that He would dwell in, not made with man's hands. But it would have to be the separation, the dividers would have to be gone. "For I will take you from among the nations, gather you out of all countries, and bring you into your own land. Then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean, and I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. And I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. And I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. Then you shall dwell in the land that I gave to your forefathers. And you shall be my people, and I will be your God. I will deliver you from all your uncleanliness, and I will call for the grain and multiply it and bring no famine upon you. And I will multiply the fruit of your trees and increase your field so that you need never again bear the reproach of famine among the nations." So we see that this was prophesied by Ezekiel. Amen? Hallelujah. Now, let's go to Exodus 19. Exodus 19. Let's go back to that veil. Remember, the veil was made of three colors. What were the colors? Blue, purple, and red, or scarlet. Exodus 19. Exodus 19 and verse 5. 5 and 6. Would you read it with me? Now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests, a holy nation. And these are the words which you shall speak to the children of Israel. So we see that the Lord was speaking through Moses and said, listen, you're going to be a kingdom of priests. That's what the blue represented, didn't it? Okay. Hallelujah. And Genesis 12. Now, if you're royal, I don't know of a royal family that doesn't have an inheritance or that is not an heir. That makes me and you royal. We are of a royal family. Every royal family has an inheritance or is an heir. And Genesis chapter 12. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Am I going too fast? Is everybody all right? Praise be to God. You can always buy the tape.
Hallelujah.
In verse 1. Now the Lord said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. And I'll make you a great nation, and I will bless you. And I'll make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. And I'll bless those who bless you, and I'll curse him who curses you. And in you all the families of the earth will be blessed. Wow. Doesn't the word say that we are now the seed of Abraham?
Yeah.
So we're to be blessed. Why? Because purple means royal. So you're from a royal family. Hallelujah. In Genesis 17. Genesis 17. And verse 10. Let's go to verse 7. Whoa. Okay. In verse 7. Would you read it with me?
Amen.
And I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you in their generations for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and your descendants after you. An everlasting covenant means everlasting. Remember, the first covenant wasn't removed, it was fulfilled. People think that the old covenant was removed. No, it was fulfilled. So this still goes on to an everlasting covenant, doesn't it? In fact, Jesus became both covenants. Oh, hallelujah. In verse 8, also I will give to you and your descendants after you the land in which you are a stranger, all of the land of Canaan, and an everlasting possession. I will be their God. And God said to Abraham, as for you, you shall keep my covenant, you and your descendants after you throughout their generations. This is my covenant which you shall keep between me and you and your descendants after you. Every male child among you shall be circumcised. And you shall be circumcised in the flesh of your foreskins, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and you. He who is 8 days old among you shall be circumcised, every male child in your generation. He who is born in your house or bought with money from any foreigner who is not your descendant. He who is born in your house and he who is bought with your money must be circumcised, and my covenant shall be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant. And the uncircumcised male child who is not circumcised in the flesh of his foreskins, that person shall be cut off from his people. He has broken my covenant. Wow. So we see that the veil is also a representation of covenant. Remember we just said that. That was what the scarlet color was. Now the Lord was bringing things to pass where it was bringing in an outward appearance now. He established his tabernacle, didn't he? Amen. Now he was reinstating a covenant that was broken with Adam and Eve. He was reestablishing another covenant. And he said, look it, this is what it's going to have to be. The male child will have to be circumcised because that was what was to come. It was no longer going to be in the New Testament a circumcision of the skin. It was going to be the circumcision of the heart. That's why he says, I'll take the heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. Amen? So the third color of scarlet represented covenant. That means God's promises for me and you. Okay? Is everybody with me? Praise God. Okay. Let's go to Matthew 27. Praise you, Jesus. We're going to go back over some of this here a little bit. And Matthew 27. Is everybody there? Let's go to verse 46. Jesus was hanging on the cross. Let's go to verse 45. Hallelujah. I like this. In verse 45. Come on, let's go back. No. You got to keep your ears and eyes and heart open here. In verse 45, it says, now from the what?
Sixth hour.
Whoa. Sounds like the same thing when the Lord, the cloud was on the mountain for 6 days. Now all of a sudden he goes to the sixth hour. And then on the seventh, Moses went into the mist. Ooh. And the sixth hour till the ninth hour, there was darkness all over the land. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out, Lord voice, saying, my God, why have you forsaken me? And some of those who stood there, when they heard that, said, this man is calling for Elijah. Immediately one of the men ran and took a sponge, filled it with sour wine, and put it on the reed, and offered it to him to drink. And the rest said this, let him alone, let us see if Elijah will come to save him. And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice, and yield up his spirit. Then behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And the earthquake, and the rocks were split. And the graves were opened. And many of the bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. Now you got to understand something. That had to happen first. Because God, remember what he'd do? He took Moses in, didn't he? All right, Moses was representation of the dead in Christ. So when the Lord descended into hell, soon as he hit, bodies came up, graves open. Now, they laid there. They didn't just rise up right away. They laid there. Okay? Because then it says, watch this. In verse 53, and coming out of the graves after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. So after he rose 3 days later, then they walked around. But other than that, the graves opened up as soon as he hit the earth. The bodies were brought forth. And then they got up. And they walked around and testified. And many walked around in the city and appeared to many. And they testified of the great things of God. Now these were the saints, most likely, who were raised from the dead, were the ones that were here listening to Jesus' ministry during the period that he was here, the 3 years, not beforehand, most likely. Because if they went in to testify to their families, well, then they have to be alive during that period of time. Amen. Hallelujah. So we see that this great event, which was prophesied, which was spoken about by the prophets, by God through his prophets, of this event that was going to happen, that this veil through Ezekiel, remember he said, now I will put my spirit in them and give them a new heart and so forth. And then the Lord said that these are going to be a kingdom or a nation of priests. Hallelujah. Acts 10:34. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, in truth I perceive that God shows no partiality, but in every nation whoever fears him and works the righteousness is accepted by him. The word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word you know, which was proclaimed throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. So God is with you through his Spirit, isn't he? He's with us through his Spirit. Everything is done through the Spirit. And certain things were fulfilled then, weren't they? go to Romans... No. Oh, whoa. Okay, let's go to 1 Peter 2. First Peter chapter 2. First Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. Let's see. I think it's 9. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. Yeah. But you are a what? Chosen generation, a what? Royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people but are now a people of God, who had not obtained mercy but now have obtained mercy. Praise be to God. So we see that the colors that were established as priesthood, royalty, and covenant have been reestablished in the ripping of the veil. Let's go to Romans 4. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 4. Oh, yeah, okay. Right. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 4 and verse 14. So we
priestly priesthood was reestablished. In verse 14, for if those who are of the law are heirs, faith is made void and the promise made of no effect, because the law brings about wrath. For where there is no law, there is no transgression. Therefore it is of faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations, in the presence of him whom he believed, God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which are not, which do not exist as though they did, who contrary to hope and hope believed, so that he became the father of many nations according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old and the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was able to perform. So we see here that we were established as an heir, weren't we? In fact, let's go to Romans 8:16 while we're in Romans. Hallelujah. Romans 8:16. And the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Amen. And if children, then what? Heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Not on us, in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. That's our fulfillment. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. That's our inheritance. Woo! Remember the Lord said, all things have been given to me by my Father, and all things have been given by the Spirit, and the Spirit's given all things to you. So we're waiting everything to be turned over. It says that everything is groaning and waiting earnestly to be turned over to the hands of the children of God, known as the sons of God. All because the veil was torn and everything was being fulfilled. In Ephesians 1. Oh, hallelujah. Beyond the veil, glory. Ephesians 1:3. Everybody there? Let's read it. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he proposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth. That's rapture, isn't it? In him. In him also we obtain a inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, that we who first trusted Christ should be to the praise of his glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now go to Hebrews 10. Hebrews chapter 10. Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 10, and I guess we can start at verse 1. This is good. Praise be to God. Would you read it with me, please? For the law, having a shadow of the good things to come, that means the Old Testament, right? And not the very image of things, can never with these same sacrifices which they offer continually year by year make those who approach perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered. For the worshippers once purified would have no more consciousness of sin. But in those sacrifices there is a reminder of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sins. Therefore, when he came into the world, he said, sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me. You must understand something, that the body is the veil. The body is the veil. That's why Jesus said, you prepared the body for me. God prepared a body for himself that had to be torn. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, you had no pleasure. Then I said, behold, I have come. In the volume of a book, it is written of me, to do your will, O God. Previously saying, sacrifice and offering, burnt offerings and offerings for sin, you did not desire, nor had pleasure in them, which are offered according to the law. Then he said, behold, I have come to do your will, O God. He takes away the first, that he may establish the second. By that we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest stands ministering daily and offering repeatedly the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God, from that time waiting till his enemies are made his footstool. For by one offering he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. But the Holy Spirit also witnesses to us, for after he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord, I will put my laws in their hearts, and in their minds I will write them. Now, and then he adds, their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. Now where there is remission of these, there is no longer an offering for sin. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way he consecrated for us through the veil that is his flesh. And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from any evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. So we see here that Jesus' body was actually the veil that had to be torn before the veil had to be torn in the temple. Somebody got it. Hallelujah. So he needed a body to fulfill our priesthood, our royalhood, and a new covenant. Everybody got it? That's why Jesus could, when he took the Last Supper, he said, this is my blood. This is my body. This was the veil. He was actually the veil himself. It had to be rent so that God can dwell with man. Amen? Not man with God. God with man. Would you turn to Colossians 2? So we see, remember we talked about the veil actually a representation of circumcision too. So man does no longer need to be circumcised to maintain a covenant. does he? Because it's not an outward thing, it's an inwardness. It's the circumcision of the heart. Colossians chapter 2. Oh, hallelujah. Everybody all right? And in verse 8. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men. Well, we get a lot of that these days, don't we? According to the basic principles of the world, we get a lot of that too. Not according to Christ. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And you are complete in him, who is the head of all principality and power. In him you are also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, in which you also were raised with him through faith and working of God, who raised him from the dead. And you, being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, having wiped away the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Hallelujah. Let's go to Ephesians 2. Verse 13. Everybody there? Let's read 13 to 18. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made both one, and has broken down the middle wall of separation, which is the veil, isn't it? Having abolished in his flesh the enmity, or hatred, that is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, as so to create in himself a new man from the two, thus making peace, and that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. And he came and preached peace to you who were afar off and to those who were near. For through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. Hallelujah. Hebrews 6. Hebrews chapter 6. Oh, it's good to hear the pages turning on Tuesday night. And verse 17. Would you read it with me? 6:17. Thus God determined to show more abundantly to the heirs of the promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope set before us. This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which enters the presence beyond the veil. Woo. Where the forerunner has entered for us, Jesus Christ, having become high priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. Hallelujah. So Jesus had to go beyond the veil so that you and I could. Amen. Hebrews 9. staying tough. A few more scriptures, we're done. Ephesians 9, verse 6. Hebrews 9, verse 6. I thought I said that. Thank you. Let's read it together. Now when these things had been thus prepared, the priest always went into the first part of the tabernacle performing the services. He's talking about the Old Testament. But into the second part, the high priest went alone once a year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the people's sins committed in ignorance. The Holy Spirit indicating this, that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest while the first tabernacle was still standing. It was symbolic for the present time in which both gifts and sacrifices are offered, which cannot make him who performed this service perfect in regard to the conscience, concerned only with foods and drinks and various washings and fleshly ordinances imposed until the time of Reformation. But Christ came as high priest of the good things to come with the greater, more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is not of this creation. So we know that it was with God who created the new tabernacle. Amen? There's a new tabernacle in me and you, not made with hands. Philippians 3. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 3. Hallelujah. Philippians 3 verse 3. For we are the circumcision who worship God in spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus, have no confidence in the flesh. Why? Because the flesh has been crucified. But first his flesh had to be the veil that was ripped and crucified. Amen? So we are the circumcision. We are known as the circumcision of the heart that has been ripped, that Christ could enter and the tabernacle of God could be established in me and you, who worship God in spirit. There's a difference, isn't there? You can only worship God in spirit by the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Yeah. Hallelujah. First Peter 3. Oh, to God be the glory. In verse 8, finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another. Love as brothers. Be tenderhearted, be courteous, not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing, knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. For he who would love life and see good deeds, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. And who is he who will harm you if you become followers of what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you are blessed. And do not be afraid of their threats, nor be troubled, but sanctify the Lord in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense for anyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that when they defame you as evildoers, those who revile your good conduct in Christ may be ashamed. For it is better if it is the will of God to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. Ooh.
In Galatians 5, hallelujah, and then one more scripture. Let the word speak for itself. Galatians 5:24. Let's read it together. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and its desires. Not my way, but your way, Lord. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another and envying one another. So if we're walking in the Spirit, we're walking beyond the veil. We're having communion in the Spirit. If we're walking in the Spirit, our flesh has been crucified because Jesus paid the price for us in his body. Now I want you to share something. I want to share something with you. Now that you and I are the body of Christ, we are the veil. Does everybody understand that? You and I are now the veil, the same body that was crucified. Except we are now the body of Christ in spirit, but still with fleshly bodies. Has everybody got it? So you and I are now the veil, which is walking around the whole earth trying to bring people beyond the veil to the other side. So you and I have the ability to bring someone beyond the veil by introducing them to Jesus and the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But we're still the veil. In fact, it's when the veil is taken off the earth, the body of Christ is taken off the earth, all hell is going to break out. Because it's the veil that's not only separating the spiritual realm from the natural realm, but it's holding back the powers of darkness to have its free way. So once you and I are removed, darkness is going to have its flow. But then the fullness of light is going to come and overtake it. Okay? In John 14:6. And this is where Jesus fulfilled who he said he was. John 14:6. And Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except for through me. And this is what he was speaking about. He was the veil that was going to bring the ministry of reconciliation. He was going to fulfill the priesthood, restore us an inheritance, his royalty, and make a new covenant with us through his own flesh. And you and I are still that veil on this earth. Or you and I are actually now the way, the truth, and the life. God is working through his body, isn't he? Amen? We're holding back darkness. But once we're gone, darkness will have its full reign, but then light's going to come and overtake it. So know who you are, know the price that your heavenly daddy made by putting on flesh that became the veil, that it was ripped for me and you, so that God could dwell with man. That's why he's known as Emmanuel, God with man. Amen?
Amen?
Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, we want to go beyond the veil with you. Take us to those places, Lord. Bring us understanding. Empower us with your spirit. And remove the scales off of the eyes who don't know you, Lord. Remove the hardening off the heart to those who don't know you. But bring revival to this campus, bring revival to this country, and bring revival to the body of Christ. Baptize the whole body in the Holy Ghost, Daddy, that all the scales can be removed. And the veil could be removed. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, Amen, amen and hallelujah.